This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Bernanke gives Wall Street a boost.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke gave Wall Street exactly what it needed, a morale boost. He sent a letter that said the Fed was prepared to act as needed to ensure the credit market problems do not adversely affect the overall economy. Of course, that fueled speculation that an interest rate cut might be coming next month, and Wall Street was grateful. The Dow gained back almost all of what it lost on Tuesday. The Dow was up 247 points to 13,289. The NASDAQ had its best day in a year, a 62-point gain. The S&P 500 climbed 31. The Asian markets added about 1% today, and European shares are also higher so far. I'm sure you've noticed whenever Wall Street has a good day, usually the markets in Asia and Europe also have gains, and vice versa. These days, the markets have no borders, which is why this isn't very surprising. Other countries now want to play a role in the oversight of U.S. financial institutions. Jeremy Hobson reports.
American credit rating agencies are the primary target of critics who say misleading ratings exposed foreign investors to big losses. Josh Rosner directs the research firm Graham Fisher.
Many of the foreign regulators had assumed that our processes and controls were perhaps stronger than in fact they are, and are realizing that some of the transparency that they assumed to have existed didn't.
So if the big credit rating agencies are the onboard navigation system of the American economy, foreign regulators want to have a hand on the steering wheel. But Professor Steve Thiel at Fordham Law School says foreign investors shouldn't be so quick to blame the rating agencies.
It's almost impossible to imagine a story in which rating agencies can guarantee the truth of the facts upon which they rely.
Thiel says the agencies have to trust the data they're given by the companies being rated, and he says investors should know that. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
I try to never complain about the weather to my friends back east. I live in Los Angeles. But we're going to have triple-digit temperatures again today, and it looks like California is going to break the record for power usage. The thing is, my electricity bill doesn't budge when it's hot out here. I asked Stacey Vanek Smith to find out why.
California is asking residents to conserve energy this week, but there's not much of a reason to listen, says Jim Bushnell with the University of California Energy Institute.
When we get to these tight electricity situations, the rates paid by customers don't change.
Not that energy comes cheap these days. Bushnell says companies like PG&E that sell electricity to consumers buy it from wholesale suppliers, and wholesale prices have been skyrocketing.
And yes, that is actually a good thing because prices tell us that we're running out. And when we're running out, we want to reduce consumption.
But Bushnell says companies like PG&E can't pass wholesale prices on to consumers because of regulations that cap electricity costs. And that stifles innovation. He says energy-saving technology would become profitable a lot faster if people could save money by using it. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Radio networks usually don't like dead air. See? But Sirius Satellite Radio is launching an entire channel of dead air. The Grateful Dead, that is. Deadheads can get their fix starting September 7th. Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley already have their own stations on Sirius. The Grateful Dead channel will start off with the recording from a concert at the Hollywood Bowl in 1974.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com.
The National Football League hasn't been getting the best press lately. The legal problems of players like Michael Vick and Pac-Man Jones have dominated the headlines. So today, the NFL launches a new ad campaign to highlight its good apples, like new Cleveland Browns quarterback Brady Quinn, who just graduated from Notre Dame.
I want to go to law school someday. Later rather than sooner. I have a degree in finance and I have a major in political science.
Other spots feature Tennessee Titans quarterback Vince Young talking about why he has tattoos and Browns linebacker Willie McGinnis telling his mom he loves her. The NFL also has its own TV network. These days, there's a cable channel for just about every niche you can think of. The latest example is called Plum TV. You can only get it in the most exclusive resort towns in America. Jill Barshay reports from the Hamptons.
Plum TV began as a local cable station in Nantucket. Tom Scott, the man behind Nantucket Nectars, bought the channel and renamed it for the plum-colored cap on his old lemonade bottles. He focused the programming almost exclusively on the local scene. Then he rolled out the channel in seven super affluent resorts, including Aspen, Miami Beach, and Martha's Vineyard.
The morning show is you're going to see the head lifeguard and you're going to see John Kerry.
Scott says the average income of his viewers is $600,000 a year. Kathy Rasenberger is a cable TV industry consultant. She says Scott made Plum TV a hit by targeting the elusive mega-rich audience. He's pulled in top-notch sponsors like Porsche and American Express.
Almost impossible for advertisers to reach that audience through traditional media. The reason a network like the Golf Network's been successful is that it delivers that very high-income CEO, and that's what he's delivering.
But Rasenberger says Plum TV is almost more of a social networking site than a television network, a bit like Facebook for the rich and famous.
I've witnessed it. People love being interviewed on Plum TV because they know that they're actually being seen by their peers.
Luminaries like Bill Clinton.
Hillary and Chelsea and we're doing other things.
Writer Joyce Carol Oates.
We don't necessarily begin writing, typing.
And Donald Rumsfeld.
I came to Vail was in 1974 with President...
Some critics have turned up their nose at the network, calling it Wayne's World for the rich. A group of locals, including Kate Spade and Jimmy Buffett, recently kicked in $20 million to help make Plum TV a bit plummier. In the Hamptons, I'm Jill Barshay for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.